Good morning, everybody. Everybody going to find your seats? Come on in, have a seat, and we'll get started. So it's good having you here. My name's Kalen. I'm the pastor at City Church. If this is your first time here, we're really honored to have you. Thanks for coming. I don't know about you, but there's just something about being in the house of the Lord, and he just wants to do great things in our hearts and our life. We're actually going to talk about that today a little bit, and I do want to mention just a couple of things. Everybody should have in their bulletin this, an Apple Up Christmas. That's our theme for this month, and the Apple Up just refers to the fact that we're going to turn our iPhones and our iPads and our Galaxy Quests and whatever those things are called, we're going to turn them upside down and spend time with one another face to face. We're not going to be distracted by social media and the texting that happens, but we're going to have an Apple Ups Christmas, and we're going to talk about being present with one another. And so part of that is we've given you just this little brochure in your bulletin that gives you just different ideas of things that we can do together as a family, things you can do together as a church family. And then there's an instructions of here's the oxymoron. We do want you to take one picture, okay? We do want you to take one picture of doing church life together, and we want you to upload it and post it to Instagram and Facebook, and there's instructions of how to do that on this as well. So we're going to hashtag it CC Apple Up. But once you do that, you put the apple up, right? You set the phone aside. So here's the deal. We promised last week, there's going to be random drawings for those of you that did an Apple Up, right, photograph and did something together and we have a gift we're going to give away. And so this one goes to Kelsey Wagner. Where's she at? Kelsey, here you go. Awesome. So here's the deal. Next Sunday, you guys start. Thank you so much. You're awesome. Next Sunday, you guys. So start taking those pictures. Right, we've got prayer going on the 5th, which is Thursday night. We're going to be praying for the Grounded for Life. Outreach, we're going to see people come to the Lord, and God's going to do great things. We want to be praying. Well, we can take pictures of doing life together. So that's an opportunity for you to upload that to the Instagram. I also want to mention there are some what we call touch cards in the back. It's an Apple Up. These are great tools just to invite somebody to church. Invite them to, you know, I leave it. My favorite way of doing this is just leaving it. If I go out to lunch or dinner or something, I'll leave it with my tip. So just invite people all over the place. What a great opportunity to do that. Can I hear an amen? We're going to talk about culture, or one of our cultural values this morning. And it's this, that we are a home for the Holy Spirit, therefore we practice the presence. God does not dwell in buildings or temples, but rather in us. Is that not true? That's the biblical understanding, right? Our perspective. He is building a home where he can come and meet with us. What a privilege. Not only does he go where we go, but he is with us in a powerful way when we gather together in our church services. Something happens when we do this church service, when we worship and when we gather as the body of Christ, the church is living stones coming together. This is really the temple. It's not this building. It's not the brick and mortar and the wood. It's us. We're the church, and this is where the Holy Spirit dwells. If we were to do church outside in the snow, that's where God would be. He wouldn't be in here. He'd be out there with us, right? Because we are the temple that God is building. Let's look at the scripture out of 1 Peter. It says, as you come to him, the living stone, rejected by men, but chosen by God and precious to him, you also are living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. So God is building a spiritual temple. That's what he's doing. When he adds you into the kingdom and he adds you to the church, right? You get born again into the kingdom, you get added to the church. God is building like living stones. He's placing you in the walls. He's placing you in this building that God is building up, and it's for you to be a holy priesthood, doing spiritual sacrifices, doing a work for the Lord. That's what God's called us to do. Now, here's, I think, what happens, and no different than you. There's times where it gets mundane. We just kind of feel like we're just kind of showing up and doing the thing, and we just check it off of our list. This is what we do. Or maybe we go to church, or we participate in small group. But there's an element of just kind of being there and hanging. That's good. I mean, those are not bad things. But I think there's something that God wants to show us today that's a little bit more significant. And I think that God wants us to do something. It's called stirring it up. Everybody say stirring it up. Now, sometimes I have to stir myself up to get engaged, especially in prayer. How many people, sometimes prayer, it takes work sometimes. And what I find myself doing is I have to kind of stir it up. I have to force myself to do something that it just takes a little effort, or you know, I'm not into it, or whatever it might be. But I tell you what, once you start to stir it up, once you start to kind of get into it, once you start to engage, once you start to really kind of be, it's amazing what happens. It's amazing how you start to, I believe sometimes it's breaking into the heavenlies. I've made comments like this. There's been times where we would come and we would do a prayer meeting, or we would do prayer together, or even in my personal prayer times, there's times when you're really just stirring it up and you're getting in, that you feel like you got some work done. Like you feel like God heard you. Like something happened in the heavenlies. Like you're ready to move on to the next project or whatever the next thing is, or go to work or whatever the, right? Yes, anybody ever experienced that? It works. There's something about stirring yourself up. And I want to talk about that this morning a little bit. This idea of, I'm understanding that we are the temple. We're the home for the Holy Spirit. But He wants us to practice His presence. There's something about doing. There's something about stirring up. There's something about being available, right? There's something about expectation that I want to address this morning. So let's pray. Father, I thank you just for your goodness and for your love and for your power and your might. And I thank you for your presence today. God, I thank you for touching our hearts and our lives. God, I thank you that you want to meet us right where we're at. God, that you want to stir some things in our hearts. You want to draw us closer to you. You want us to send us into the world, Father, to make a difference in the lives of people. And so, Father, I pray that I would communicate well. And God, I pray you open up our hearts and our minds to receive your word. And God, help us to understand what it means to practice your presence. And everybody said, amen. Just three things this morning. The first one is this, is that we prepare. Everybody say prepare. We prepare ourselves to be used by Him. You know, it doesn't necessarily just show up and it's going to happen. Now, God can do whatever He wants. And I do want Him to show up and just let it happen. But there's something about being prepared. I think of Hannah, my daughter, owns a dance studio in town, and I don't know if you ever watch, you know, she'll post things, and, you know, they spend 4 to 5 days a week with all of these students, all the way from young age up through high school, and every single week they're preparing for dance routines, for the biggie would be the recital at the end of the year, or they also do competition type things where they actually go and they compete. Now, how embarrassing would it be not to be prepared and then to show up to compete? It just doesn't work. There's preparation going on. They're prepping in order to do something. So they're practicing routines, they're practicing technique. And I'll tell you this, every year, right, every year it gets a little bit more difficult. The routines, the technique gets, and the older you get, and the more you learn, and the more you do, the little bit more difficult, and the little bit more technical that it is, the cooler it becomes year in and year out, year after year, right? I belong to a book club. It's a bunch of pastors that I've connected with for years. My friend Ross Llewellyn with First Baptist Church downtown, and it's his group of guys, but I meet with them once a month, and we read books. And here's the thing, is I don't want to show up to those meetings not prepared. How embarrassing. So guess what? I read the book. I'm prepared when I show up to those meetings. And part of the reason I wanted to be a part of that group is there's a sense of accountability. You know, there's accountability. Guess what? It makes you read books. But I'm prepared. Right? I think it's important. Listen to this scripture. It says 2 Timothy 2:20, in a large house there are articles not only of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay. Some are for noble purposes, some for ignoble. If a man cleanses himself from the latter, he will be an instrument for noble purposes, made holy, useful to the master and prepared to do any good work. There's something about presenting ourselves to the master, God in heaven, our Father in heaven, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, and we make ourselves available to him, set apart for him, prepared. Everybody say prepared for any holy work. So how do we prepare? What are things that we look at? Well, obviously there's the disciplines, just our disciplined life when it comes to spiritual preparation, and of course the Bible, scripture reading, the Word of God, our time with the Lord, our prayer, our devotions. I think there's something about worship. I think there's something about coming into these meetings even where we worship the Lord. Even Jesus, he taught his disciples how to pray, and the first thing that he said was, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." Started off with worship. Started off with acknowledging how great and sovereign and awesome God is. And Jesus, the Lord of Lords and King of Kings, right? The Lamb that takes away the sins of the world, the Holy Spirit, praying in your spiritual language. There's something about just worshiping the Lord, giving your life to him, just saying, God, you're awesome. And Lord, I love you and I worship you and I give my life to you today. Just the Word of God is extremely important. I think a great tool, there's a tremendous amount of tools available, but online you can have a downloadable reading program that gives you 10 minutes a day that gets you through the entire Bible every year. I've been doing that for years, and I just use it's a great, because I don't have to remember where I left off, which is a problem when you get to my age. It just downloads the reading for the day. And I go and I read it. Bernie has it. She has it. Read it to her. She likes it. It's not Siri. Siri's cousin, I think. It's some guy. I don't know his name. Anyway, so he reads the Bible to her. That's how she does her daily scriptures reading. Why? Because the Word of God is what brings life. It gets us to understand who he is. Right? Prayer. Just speaking to the Lord. How about fasting? I was talking to somebody earlier today about fasting. And I think it's a great practice to fast. And we're going to kind of practice that this month, aren't we? We're going to put in apples up. We're going to set our telephones to the side. We're going to fast our need for speed. We're going to fast our need for texting, our need for social media, our need to make comment or look what's happening on. No, we're going to fast that and connect with people. Amen. And connect with one another and be present with one another. Amen? So there's just really being prepared, time in the Word, time in prayer, time in our relationship with Christ, time acknowledging him as Lord and Savior. 2 Timothy 2:20 says, 4:7 says, have nothing to do with godless myths and old wives' tales. Rather, train yourself to be godly. Everybody say that. Train yourself to be godly. For physical training is of some value. But godliness has value for all things. Everybody say all things. Holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. I think we should take care of our physical bodies. But not to neglecting of our spiritual beings. The most important thing is godliness and preparation and, right, just that personal disciplines that we're connecting to the Lord and we're spending time and we're allowing him to speak to us and to draw us and to make us more like him. Can I hear an amen to that? So we really want, right, we want to prepare ourselves. The second thing is, I believe, is in preparing ourselves, I'm still in that, is gatherings, our corporate gatherings. This is extremely important. Hebrews 10:25 says, let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit, everybody say habit, of doing. Here's the statistic. 25% of Americans show up 3 out of 8 Sundays. American, 25% of American Christians show up to church 3 out of 8 times. That's a habit. I think that's an unhealthy habit, personally. You guys are obviously here, so preaching to the choir, I think it's a statement, right? But the importance of staying connected and the corporate gatherings, because something happens here that doesn't happen anywhere else. There's a reason why God, we encourage one another, we challenge one another, right? We get to hear from God. There's prophetic. How many people really appreciated the whitest snow that Tim shared? Wasn't that powerful? Just to be reminded that your white as snow, your sin, you used to be as red as crimson, now you're white as snow. And I love that visual. When it melts, it brings life. God has filled you with life. And when you're around people, it's just all that water and that pureness and what? It brings life. I wouldn't have gotten that had I not come this morning. So let us not give up meeting together, some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. There's something about being equipped. There's something about worshiping the Lord and His presence being amongst us. There's something about the prophetic. There's something about the fellowship. There's something about the hearing of the Word of God. There's something about serving one another that's extremely important for us. And it challenges us. It makes us be better. It makes us grow, right? Can I hear an amen to that? So the importance of our church gatherings. And the last point in this, and we're talking about this idea of being prepared, are ministry times. 1 Timothy 4:14 says, this is Paul talking to Timothy. He says, do not neglect your gift, which was given to you through a prophetic message when the body of elders laid their hands on you. Times of ministry. I would not discount altar calls. We have altar calls every week. We have prayer teams available for you to come and get ministered to and prayed for. So my wife and I are in a unique season in our life. It's kind of a new chapter. I believe that God is stirring. God is wanting to speak to us. We need to get direction for our lives. And so what we began to do, there's three things that we've done in the last 5 weeks. The first thing we did is we called a family meeting with our kids and our in-laws, and we asked them to come lay hands on us. Ministry time. And they prophesied and they prayed for us and they encouraged us as their parents. The second thing we did is we have a pastor friend down in Casper, Wyoming. My people remember 2 weeks ago we talked about the three things we wanted to pray for. One of them was, right, not neglecting or not dismissing the grace of God in our lives. And one of them is sometimes things happen in our lives where we become bitter and angry and, you know, perhaps there's things in our past that can maybe affect our future. And we asked them to come and pray for us specifically in that realm. And they did. And then the third thing is last Sunday, or the 2 Sundays ago, Bernie and I came up to the Swallies, and they were praying that we would not stiff-arm God, that we would be open to receive God's grace in our life, and we asked them to pray for us. Ministry time. Why? Because I want to be prepared. Don't neglect ministry time. And if there's something you need in your life, or God is stirring something in your life, get prayer. Call on the elders of the church. Have people lay hands on you. Guys, tracking. I want to be prepared. I want to be available. I want to be used of God. And I know there's more. And I know He wants to speak to us. And He is, by the way, prophetically and personally. We even spent time with a pastor friend of her, Pastor Lester Hall and his wife, Jewel. We spent lunch 2.5 hours with them on lunch Friday. Why? Because we want to tap in to their ministry in our lives for specific purposes. We seek that stuff out. We want input. Can I hear an amen to this? Okay. It's important. Altar calls, prayer times, responding to the Lord, not neglecting your gift. Paul told Timothy, don't neglect your gift. I mean, that was given to you by the laying on of the elders. Don't neglect that stuff. Don't despise. Right? Don't treat unholy those things that are holy in our lives. Why? Because we want to be prepared for the presence of the Lord. Can I get a really hearty amen or something? Amen. Good job. The second thing is we practice. Everybody say practice. We practice by sharing the love of God with others. Use what you got. Well, It's not very big, or I don't have much to offer. Use what you got. See, He wants to use you. He wants to increase the grace of God in your life. I don't know about you, but I've been, especially in the last year or so, I've been praying that prayer regularly in my life, that God would bring increase to the grace of God in my life. We preached the entire month of November on God's grace. Remember getting into the elevator, pushing the button, and he takes you where you need to go. I want that to increase in my life. God's gifting, God's availability, God's calling, God's anointing, God's grace in our lives, I want that to increase. So obviously we pray those things, but part of the increase is using the muscle. It's kind of like if you want your muscles to increase when you go work out, you gotta use them. You gotta pump the iron, right? You gotta get the blood into that thing so it pops. Same with our spiritual gifting, you gotta use it. And when you use it, it grows. It increases. 1 Corinthians 14 says, "What shall we say then, brothers? When you come together, some of you have a hymn or a word of instruction." Nobody's going to stop me? No scripture, Mark? Really? Well, you should know this scripture by memory. All right, so it says, "What then shall we say, brothers? When you come together, some of you..." Thank you. Everyone. Everybody say everyone. If you can look up your Bible if you want, this is in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 26. This is what he's talking about. He's talking about the corporate gathering. When we come together, everyone, say it again. Everyone has a hymn or a word of instruction, a revelation, a tongue or interpretation. All of these must be done for the strengthening of the church, practicing the presence. I think there's this mentality, and you come to listen to me preach. I have a gift to give. I do that. But I tell you what, there's somebody sitting next to you that might need to hear something today. Maybe they just need you to handshake or pray for them. Or maybe God will give you a scripture for them. Maybe they just need an encouragement. Maybe they need a high five. Maybe they need to come down for prayer and you can come with them. Right, all of us, everyone has something to give. And we practice that. So as you feel that the Lord's prompted you, tugged your heart, given you a scripture for somebody, I say, go share it. And your muscle will grow. Your grace will increase. And the person that you share it with will be encouraged. Listen, God's goodness and kindness is expressed through you. The way that people know about the love of God is by you. I love this. This is how it was communicated of Jesus. God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil because God was with him. Jesus is full of goodness and kindness. And how did he manifest that? By doing good and healing. How does he do that today? By sending you to do good things and to bring healing and to be miracles and to care for people and to bring, right? He does it through you. It says this in Acts chapter 1. It says, Luke, who wrote the book of Acts, says, I'm going to give you a demonstration of what Jesus began to teach and do. That's how the book starts off. How did Jesus continue to do it? It's through the church. And he continues to do that this day is through you. That's how the goodness, that's how the work of the Lord gets accomplished is through us. Can I hear an amen to that? See, God is with you also. So how about faith? How can your faith, just your trust in the Lord and believing in God and trusting in him, how can that help people that you work around or that you live around or your neighbors with? Or how can your faith, I think about this for a second. There's a story of a man that was paralyzed. Jesus talks this, right? It's written in the Gospels. I think it's in the book of Mark. And it says that this paralyzed guy had four friends. Everybody say friends. And they grabbed a corner of his mat and they hauled him to Jesus. And Jesus is teaching in a little hut, little house. And it says there's just not enough room. They can't get through the doors. They can't make their way through. So they climbed up on the roof, and they dug a hole. They took the roofing off, the shingles, and they dropped that paralytic man right smack dab in the middle of the room. And Jesus says he looked at the friends and said, because of their faith, Jesus healed the paralytic. Amen. How can your faith, believe in God, trusting in Jesus, affect your unbelieving friends or people that need a touch or a miracle and they just don't have enough faith? Well, God will look at your faith and say, well, that's good enough for me. Bam. How about powerful insights? God wants to speak to you about other people. He'll speak to you truths and wonders and secret things. And you get to share that with people. You might say, you know what? I really feel like maybe the Lord is telling me something about you, and you get to share the love of Christ with somebody. That's powerful insights. You're prophetic people. You got the Holy Spirit in you. He wants to speak. He wants to download. He wants to use you. And it could be just a simple word that can change somebody's life. Can I hear an amen to that? He wants to do that. How about miracles and healings? What if? Everybody say, what if? Wednesday night, we had prayer and worship testimony night. Those are miracles to me. It's the lives of people touched by God. Just changed lives. Excited about what God wants to do in their hearts and in their lives and with their friends. And I'm going, I cannot tell you. It's worth it to me. It's worth preparing myself. It's worth sharing my faith. It's worth it to see people's lives touched and changed by the power and the grace and the love of Jesus Christ. It's just, what if? You know, what if you somebody that you knew was in the hospital and needed healing? And just what if you went up and you just happened to say, well, you know, I've never really done this before, but can I pray for you? What if you prayed for them and what if God healed them? Amen. Oh, man. What if? You just don't know. Comfort. You know, this may sound weird, but I actually enjoy doing funerals. And I've done a lot of funerals for unsaved people, families that don't know the Lord. And it's amazing to me how people desperately hang on to the words that I share. And the move and the mood and the scripture when you bring comfort to the lives of people. They hang on to it like, and they're overwhelmed with gratitude that we would take the time just to do a funeral for somebody, a loved one that maybe we didn't even know. But people are desperate for hope. Life-giving words. I love this. Peter turned to Jesus. Jesus said something about eating his flesh and drinking his blood, and a bunch of people freaked out and they left. And Jesus looked to Peter, the other 11. He says, well, what about you? You're going to leave too? And Peter says, where else are we going to go? You have the words of eternal life. We have the words of eternal life. We have life-giving words that we can give people that bring life. You can make all the difference in the life of people that are around you. Therefore, Galatians 6:10 says, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people. All people. Jesus went around doing good and healing those that came to him. As you have opportunity, let's do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. Practice the presence, because the Holy Spirit dwells in you. He's in you. And he'll give you the grace and the power and the ability to do whatever it is that he asks you to do. Can I hear an amen to that? And here's the third point, is we come to church gatherings expecting. Everybody say expecting. The Holy Spirit is going to manifest his presence. It's kind of what this morning was about. By the way, Paul, you and your team just really did a great job today. Thanks so much. Wasn't that awesome, though, just to worship the Lord like that? You can clap if you want. It's great. Yeah. Or you could clap a lot more enthusiastically than that. There you go. There you go. It's better. I have seen, I have witnessed, and I have experienced personally this thought. I know of people that have come to church service, the same church service, that were expecting God to do something, and they were blown away by what God did for them. How God met them, changed their lives, whatever it might be. In that same service, I have seen people come in and wonder where God was at. What's the difference? I wonder if it isn't an expectation. I have gone to church services. And I'm sitting in the middle of this church, and I'm thinking, boy, this was the most unanointed worship service I've ever been in my entire life. And I looked up, and I looked to my right, and there's this guy weeping. Just weeping. And I'm going, oh, oops, my bad. Oh, man, where was my heart? Where was my expectation? See, I think God wants us to be the people that come into worship, and when we're worshiping, we raise our hands to Him. And we clap. And we get excited. Why? Because there's an expectation in the air. I've come prepared. Man, I've been praying all week. Maybe I come to a pre-service prayer. You know, part of the things I've asked our worship team to do is pray every single Sunday before they come up here and lead you into worship. Why? So that there's an expectation and a prepared heart to lead us into the things that God wants to do. They're basically required to pray for you, pray for themselves and the worship set. And 1 Corinthians 14:25 says, but if an unbeliever, somebody who does not understand, comes in while everybody is prophesying, he's talking about the church service, he will be convinced by all that he is a sinner and will be judged by all, and the secrets of his heart will be laid bare, so he will fall down and worship God, exclaiming, God is really among you. That's my heart's desire. Is that yours? Is that sense of expectation that people would come into this place and God would meet them right where they're at? Each individual person, and they would say, God is really here. I don't want to just do church. I don't want to just sing sweet songs. I love you, but I don't want to just do handshakes. I would really like to meet with our Father. I would really like to hear from the Holy Spirit. I would really like to be touched emotionally and intellectually and spiritually. And I want to be used of God to touch you. And I want you to be used of God to touch me. See, the key is a hunger and a thirst. Did you know that God can change in an instant what we would work a lifetime to try to fix? What if? What if we came into this place expecting God to change whatever it is that we're struggling with or need grace for, or God's called us to, or whatever? If we came into this place expecting God to do that. And if He doesn't, that's okay. Because next week I'm going to come in, and if He doesn't meet me then, the following week, I'm going to expect. And if He doesn't do it for me, I'm going to pray He does it for you. You have a need? Let's expect God to meet it. How about salvations? You know, people get saved in the Sunday morning services. Revelation. God, I didn't know that. Oh, the Holy Spirit really spoke to me. He really ministered to me today. I really appreciated the picture of that snow. What a beautiful day to pick that on. Right? Deliverance. How many people could use some deliverance in their life? How about experiencing His presence in a very tangible way? Just knowing that God is real. Oh, I don't want to miss that. I can't wait to be here next time. John 6:35, and Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry, and he who believes in me will never be thirsty." Are you hungry and are you thirsty? You'll be met. That's the whole point. Are we hungry and thirsty and expectation, right? An anticipation of what God's going to do. He's going to meet us. He's going to meet the person next to me, and he's going to touch and change our lives. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? Think about this. Can you imagine if each Sunday we came to service prepared, prayed up, full of the Word of God and anticipation and faith and expectant? Can you imagine what church would be like every Sunday? Can you imagine if we came ready to practice the presence by ministering to others? Can you imagine if you're driving to church and God gives you a word? Oh man, I really feel like I need to share this today. Or God gives you a scripture. I really feel like God wants me to share this today. Or he gives you a hymn, right? Or he gives you a prophetic message and you're going, you just can't wait to let it go, to share it. Why? Because it can comfort and encourage and change somebody. Can you imagine if we came to church every Sunday prepared and ready to serve one another? See, I think people are looking for more. I'm looking for more. I think people are looking for a genuine connection to the living God. I think people are looking for a genuine connection in relationships. I think people are looking for a genuine purpose or call in their life. Thus, we're compelled to engage Jesus, people, and purpose. I know that we've kind of alluded to this in the past, where we talked about there's a man that was begging for alms. He was crippled in his feet from his childhood or birth or what, but back in the day, in Jesus' day, and Peter and James and John, and the only way they could get help was to ask for alms. And this guy would sit at the temple courts, and he'd just have a little cup, or his hand would be held out, and he'd just, every time somebody would come in, he just hold his hands out and people would give him money, and that's how he lived. That's how he bought his bread. That's how he lived. Can you imagine? Every day. Having to go down, somebody probably hauled you down there, dumped you off, so I'll be back at 6 o'clock to get you. Good luck. Peter and James show up. And there he is, handing out, asking for alms. And Peter says, "I don't have money or gold or silver, but what I do have, I give you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Stand up and walk." There's that expectation. He expected something. He just expected some coins. But God. And it says he jumped. He jumped. And he praised God. Can you imagine being crippled all your life? Not be able to walk, not be able to work, looked down on, scum of society, standing on the corner, having to beg, and all of a sudden, my strength, my muscles aren't even atrophied. They're screaming and yelling and praising God, and it says he goes into the temple with Peter and James and John. He goes into the temple and everybody recognizes him as the man that sits on the corner as they walk in to this temple as the guy that begs for alms. And this is what it said of the people. They were filled with wonder and amazement. What if God begins to do things in your life that when you go to work, people look at you and they're full of wonder and amazement because of what God is doing and has done and continues to do in and through your life, because you're prepared, you're expectant, and you go and do the work. You practice. What if? Would you go ahead and bow your heads? Perhaps you're here today and you've never given your life to Jesus. You're not sure what it means to be forgiven. You're not sure what that white, like snow, feels like. You're just caught in your sin and struggling to make it from day to day and wondering if you're even going to go to heaven if you were to die. If that's you this morning, Jesus wants to meet you in a very real way. Would you simply raise your hand? Everybody's head is bowed, eyes are closed. And we will pray with you and you can have a new relationship with Jesus. Is there anybody like that this morning? Just simply raise your hand. Anybody else? The Bible says, anybody else? Raise your hands. Thank you, Jesus. Sometimes there might even be an argument. You're going on and you're saying, I don't know. No, do I want to do this? Do I not want to do this? In my experience is that's generally the Lord tapping on your heart, saying, I want you to be my son or my daughter. This is the moment. Anybody else wants to respond? Thank you for raising those hands. Maybe you've given your life to the Lord years ago or months ago, and you've just kind of done your own thing. You've turned your own way. You've decided to do your own thing. You've just turned your back on God, but you'd like to make a recommitment. If that's you, would you raise your hand? Okay. All right. Well, we're going to pray this morning. We do this for those of you that responded, for those of you that have raised your hands. If you will pray this between you and the Lord, genuinely, He's going to do a great work in your heart. He's going to do a miracle. He's going to change your life. He's going to forgive you and save you and mark you as His own son or daughter. And so we're going to pray out loud as a church together. So repeat after me, Lord Jesus, thank you for your great love. Thank you for the wonder of salvation. But I acknowledge this morning that I am a sinner. I've wandered from you, and I need your forgiveness. I acknowledge that you died for my sins, that you died on the cross and were buried, and on the third day raised to life. Thank you for forgiving me. And I receive your forgiveness. Send your Holy Spirit to live inside of me. Let me be sensitive to His voice. And help me to follow you all the days of my life. Thank you, Jesus. And everybody said, amen, amen, amen. Hey, guys, you are awesome. Thanks so much for coming to church today. We do have prayer team available for you. If you need that altar call ministry opportunity, here you go. Here it is. And if you've just given your life and made a commitment to Christ, I'm going to ask you to come see David over here by the round table up front. He will encourage you. He'll pray for you. He has a gift for you. He'll show you some things just on what to study and what to do next. So you guys have a great week. We'll see you Thursday night for prayer as we pray for our evangelistic outreach. See you.
Savior's robe as He walks into the room where people pray, where Jesus, he hears faith. There is a sound I love to hear. It's the sound of the Savior's robe as he walks into the room. Aloud. Oh.